bringing your Saturday morning around right here at Rosie on the House. We're here for you. If you'd like to give us a ring at 1-888-767-4348, we'd be happy to answer any question you have about your house, home, castle, or cabin, whether it's remodeling, maintaining, fixing up, or repairing. Give us a ring, and we'll do what we can about providing you from our 50-plus years of building and remodeling experience to work for you so we can help you through that project. You know, Romy, you were mentioning you've gotten to where you enjoy reading the mansion section of the Wall Street Journal. It's pretty entertaining, some of the stuff they've got in there.
A lot of it, you know, it's 4 or 5 pages, 6 or 7 sometimes, and usually there's at least one good story in it. A lot of times it's just stuff that's so ridiculous. I don't even waste my time reading it, like a $78 million California, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, who cares? But they have some fun stuff.
They do. They do. And there was an article in there by one of the journalists who had just recently had a custom home built. And the article is, "Construction hindsight is 2020. The things I wish I knew before I embarked on this project." But she finishes the article with a sidebar: things contractors wish their clients knew before they embarked upon a project. And we were talking about how much flack I have gotten the last couple of weeks from the people from Ohio. It's all good-natured flack because it just, that's the way we are. But one of the not good natured flack I get is from the contractors in Arizona. When I tell homeowners, never, ever answer the contractor's question, "What's your budget?" As soon as they ask you that question, you know you have the wrong contractor on the job. You need to make sure that contractor has his ears turned on, or that architect, the designer, listening to what you want to have done. What is it about the house that's driving this change? What doesn't work anymore? Is it a traffic pattern? Is it a room configuration? Is it converting from a house full of kids to empty nesting? Is it bringing mom and dad home into a comfortable in-law suite, granny suite? Whatever it is that's driving it, you need to be able to visit with that contractor that should be doing, asking you a ton of questions. But one of the questions shouldn't be, "Okay, homeowner, what's your budget?" Don't answer that question. If the contractor has any amount of local experience in your neighborhood doing the kind of projects you want done, he ought to be able, or she ought to be able, to hear you out, listen to you, and they may be able to do it right there on the spot, or they may need a couple days to digest it. They should be able to tell you, "Well, for this project, this is what your anticipated budget should be."
And a lot of people, when you're talking budgets, whatever you think you have in your mind of a budget, you shouldn't have one going into the project, because it never lines up. And if you've got it set in your head that you're going to be able to get it for this, it's never this, it's always that. And don't be afraid of getting a budget, an expensive budget. There's nothing that says you have to do the project. So what if it takes you 3 years to save for it, 6 years to save for it? If you're going to be in the home long term, ultimately it'll be worth it. But you know, don't be afraid of getting a high estimate, because you don't have to do it.
As long as, well, the key is it accurate? You know, if it's higher than you anticipated, you're just going to have to find some way to negotiate that challenge. But is it accurate? And that's why we encourage people, find someone that's been active in your neighborhood for a long time.
My big project right now that we'd like to do is, you know, I never thought I'd have a lawn or a pool. But when you have kids in Arizona, and you spend most of your time outside, a lawn and a pool becomes part of your summer living. And
why don't you find somebody that can take my pool out of my backyard and bring it over to you?
But see, I don't want a pool.
Oh.
Because the arena, we would have so much dust constantly. From our house to the White Tank Mountains isn't another house. The amount of dust and the filters we would burn up constantly. But you can do a living pond that'll naturally filter. It still has a filter to it, but you put plants and an eco-structure and system. And when I was talking to the pond home about...
What was your budget for that?
Yeah, I had no idea. I thought, for what I want, because I'm not talking about just digging out. I mean, the dirt we're going to use to excavate it is going to be the backdrop to the pond, and we're going to have a windmill on top that's going to pump water from the pond onto the top, and that's going to be the aeration. So you've got this constant running stream and this living sound. And
it's a living, active, dynamic swimming hole.
Yeah, and it's going to go in between the two mulberry trees, so they'll be able to jump out of the tree and have tire swings. And I got done with Paul, and he's like, so it's going to take me a while to estimate something like this, but what you're doing, similar projects I've done, you know you're talking close to $200,000. I said,
yeah, baby. Yeah, baby.
So, but all those different elements I'm talking about, they don't all have to be done at once. We're just going to start with something small. And then add on to it and expand it and grow it. And I'd love to be able to have to do some laps, not like an Olympic size lap pool, but exercise. I like swimming as an alternative to cardiovascular over jogging. I hate to run. That's how much I hate to run. So I mean, it's going to take me 20 years to do it.
Okay, there you go. Well, when people ask me, write a book,
but I plan to die at the property. So
there you go. One of the books that has kind of been in our making for a little while is the 10 mistakes most homeowners make. And it actually is being split up into the 10 plumbing mistakes, the 10 air conditioning mistakes, the 10 energy saving mistakes. But the one mistake, I'm going to repeat it, for those of you that are contemplating a project, is divulging your budget. And every contractor in Arizona hates me for teaching you this. Don't give your budget. If you're talking to a qualified contractor, experienced in your neighborhood, doing the kind of work you want done, they should be able to tell you it should be between X and Y. And then when he says, I'm going to charge you to put the estimate together, you should be okay with that. They should charge a modest fee to put the detailed estimate together. And when the estimate comes back, it needs to fall within the preliminary range that he told you or she told you in the beginning. Those are all qualifying steps that you take the contractors you're interviewing through to make sure you've got the right contractor. And I've said this many times. For every day you spend in interviewing contractors is going to be a month you save finding some contractor to come take over a project that's gone bad. And many of you still want to see 3 or 4 or 5 contractors give you free bids for work on a project. And when you put 4 or 5 contractors against each other and all you're interested in is the cheapest bid, I will all but guarantee what you've got is the contractor that missed something. And there's going to be a problem down the road. It's just the tradition of the American construction industry that's how it's been for the last 50 years. I always compare how much better a system they do have in this regards in Europe. If they get 4 estimates, they throw the low bid away, they throw the high bid away, they average all 4 of them, and the contractor that comes in at the closest to the average is the one they go into final interview process with. And that just makes a lot of sense to me. Rather than giving into your inner cheapskate, going with a low bid, and then kicking yourself and your spouse and your dog and the contractor for the next 3 or 4 months while you're involved in this project.
Another fun story from the Wall Street Journal's mansion section, the Mayflower. do you know what ultimately happened to the Mayflower? We all know about the Mayflower and the pilgrims coming over. Well, Captain Christopher Jones went back to England in May of 1612. He died the following March, and the boat just sat in the Thames River and became unusable. So Captain Jones' wife and the other co-owners got it appraised. What do you think the Mayflower appraised for in 1624? Today's dollar value, about $40,000.
Okay.
For a ship that can go across
okay.
the Atlantic.
Okay.
And so it was common for them to just get repurposed, and it had a picture of this barn that's the roof structure is just the hull of the boat flipped upside down, and then
that's hilarious.
Put roofs on top of it. So the Mayflower is still in existence as a barn in England.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. So
it's cool. They have cool stories like that. That's well, I love pulling those out of the mansion section. Those are the fun stories, not you know what celebrity is selling their $20 million home in the Caribbeans. But
they are kind of interesting to see those homes. So let's see if we can bring Mike into the conversation, at least get his question on air before we have to go to a quick break. Good morning, Mike.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Really appreciate it. My wife and I have just an incredible house in Chandler. It's on a lake and everything. We just love it to pieces. But we're both arthritis is setting in and all that. And we have a two-story house. And I was wondering if there's been any new innovations in like elevators or something we can use to try and get us from the first floor to the second floor without a lot of pain and a lot of effort.
In fact, there is, Mike, and I know you're on a cell. We're going to have to go to a little break here, but I want you to stay tuned. After we go through this short commercial break, I'll come back and talk about the new innovations that allow for a fairly easy, I mean, we've installed elevators in homes. It's not an easy operation, but in the last 10 years, the things they've come up with to get you first and second story access residentially have really been pretty darn creative. So we'll cover that. Mike, you stay tuned, leave your radio on, and we'll get to it right after a little short commercial break.